Well, good morning. Welcome to Christian Baptist Church. Let me just go through a couple of announcements before we get into our time of worship today. We do have a congregational looking forward follow-up meeting next Sunday after the service. There will be a hot dog lunch provided, so come and have a gourmet hot dog after the service. It is gourmet, isn't it, Stephen?
Absolutely.
Good. And then we'll get down into the follow-on discussion from the last session. And in the blue insert in the bulletin are the notes that we took and the comments that we made during the last session about looking forward. And on the back, if you like, there's a little bit of an agenda about what we want to be praying for this week. And it's that one statement, when people say, Christian Baptist Church, they know it to be this physical building. You're the building up on the hill on Main Street with the spire, right? But can we get to the point where people say, oh, aren't you the church that, and they recognize us by what we do, what we're about, what the focus of our ministry and our mission is. So there's a question there. I want people to say, aren't you the church that, and there's that statement, I want us to be known for this, this, and this. These three elements of our manifestation, our representation of what it means to be a Christian family. So if we can pray about that during the week, and next Sunday in our discussion groups, we'll just share what we're sensing the Spirit saying to us as a family of believers, that we want to hear God say, I want you to be this. And we're hearing that from the Lord, and we'll share it next Sunday. And we'll continue to move forward as we seek the Lord's will in our life. So that's next week. Today is a very special day for Heather Brown. Got her bridal shower today. I'm embarrassed, Heather, now. It's from 2 to 4:30 this afternoon. Of course, all the ladies are welcome to come and celebrate this special occasion with the bride. We're still looking in there, can you help section there? Still looking for someone to be the leader for the church picnic and the VBS program. It's church picnic in June, VBS program in July. And these are what we call one and done events. We're not asking you to sign up for the next 15 years. We're just asking you to sign up for the next few weeks to get these things organized and planned and publicized. So if you could talk to myself or Stephen Hill after the service, that would be great. And on the back, there's the board meeting this week at the Annex on Tuesday, and there's a date error there. It's May the 3rd, a prayer meeting at the church at 11 o'clock, the branches Bible study at 2 o'clock, and the Bible study at George and Janice's place at 7 o'clock. So you're welcome to join in any of those events as you are able and feel led. I want to read a letter now from one of us to all of us. Dear Christian Baptist Church family, I would like to thank you all for your many prayers and cards for my recent surgery and illness. If it wasn't for prayer and Jesus' sacrifice for all of us, we would not be healed. Keep praying for others who are in need. Thank you again so much. Sincerely, in Yeshua's name, Melanie. Thank you, Melanie. And it's great to see you with us today. Great to see you. As we prepare for our time of worship together, I'm going to read a psalm and pray us into our time of worship. So let's pray. Let's pray. Listen to this psalm. Psalm 95. Come, come. Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Heavenly Father, gracious God, when we gather to worship, and we need these reminders from Scripture of the great, majestic, all-powerful, all-knowing God that we worship. Lord, we know you are a God of love and provision and protection over all. And we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful letter today of your healing of Melanie in order to bring her back into our fellowship today. And Lord, we thank you for all of the work you're doing in all of our lives. And Lord, so we gather here this morning to worship you. Be present among us by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to read Psalm 113, verses 1 to 8. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the earth, on the heavens and the earth. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash. He seats them with princes, with the princes of his people." Heavenly Father, we have gathered here to worship you today. You are an awesome God, greater than our comprehension or our imagination. You are beyond any word we could ever use to describe you. And yet, through Jesus, we know the intimacy of your love. We've come to you in thanksgiving and praise to know that you are God and to place our lives anew into your hands. We pray that you would open our eyes with your word, open our ears to hear you speak. May your Holy Spirit surround each one here and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stand, please. Heavenly Father, gracious God, it is our desire to do your will. We give you thanks for all of your blessings upon us. We return now to you these our tithes and offerings. We give them with grateful and thankful hearts. We ask you to bless them and show us how to use them wisely for your kingdom work, here and beyond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let the children come forward now to the front, please.
Well, I have some work for you to do. A question. Why are you here today? Who wants to be first? Answer that question. You know, you see the reporters on the TV and they go up to people with their microphones and they offer them a chance to give their opinion or give their thoughts. Why are you here?
For worship.
For worship, good. What is worship?
Praise.
Jane?
Praise.
Good. Why are you here? Do you want to be one? Come on. My granddaughter said to me a few minutes ago, they will not answer the question. And I said, sure they will. They will answer the question. Why are you here today?
I think Jacob's here because his mom named him.
Same with us.
Well, that's exactly the question answer I thought I might be getting. It's because my mother or my father made me come. Right? Right? Why are you here today?
To learn about God.
Good. And that was going to be my next question. Why did your mother or father make you come? And that's why they made you come. They wanted you to learn about God. Why do you suppose they wanted you to learn about God? Anyone have any ideas why they might want you to learn about God? He's nudging you. He thinks you've got something to say. Have you got something to say? No, not at all. Well, God's our creator. If you listen to some of the words in the first hymn, you would get some ideas of what you want you to learn about God, what you need to know about God, what God has done for us. Because without God, we wouldn't have food, sunshine, rain. I know it's a dull day, and it's raining, and it makes you feel sort of tired and not much like responding. But you can understand that. But God has given us many, many things. And we need to know that He's there to help us with our life, help us live the life that He wants us to live. And when we learn about God, we learn about Jesus. And God gave Jesus. Just a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. On Good Friday, we heard that Jesus was willing to die on the cross so that we could have life. And when we come on Sunday morning, we come to learn about Jesus, about God, so that we might know just what He has in store for us. He makes our lives worth living. So, you know, when you come to church on Sunday, think about it. Maybe you shouldn't give your parents a rough time sometimes about getting here. Maybe you shouldn't say, I don't feel like going today. I don't want to go. Why do I have to go? And that's normal. I think all kids do that sooner or sometime in their lives. But it's because your parents love you, that they want you here and want you to know about God and what God has done for you. So when you're going downstairs to learn more about what God has done for you, let's just pray. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to come to a place of worship where we can learn more about you, what you have done for us, and what you have in store for us, what you plan to do with our lives. Help us, Lord, to be receptive to what you want us to learn. And may we always want, Lord, to be sitting here in a pew, in a church, learning about your love. We do ask in Jesus' name, amen.
During my Sunday school teaching days, teaching like grade 8, grade 9, there was a requirement that the children would have to bring their Bible. And many of the boys would forget, being 14, 15 years old, they would just forget. And I'd always ask them, why haven't you brought your Bible today? And invariably, the beginning of their answer was, well, my mum didn't do something, or was late, or did something. That's why I, as a 14-year-old, was not able to bring my Bible today. So it's a funny, funny excuse to blame your mum for not bringing your Bible to church. So being the kind of Sunday school teacher I was, I kept a little stack of pink Bibles for the boys to use during Sunday school class if they forgot their own Bibles. I was mean. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the children, for the grandchildren, and for the joy of seeing them grow up, Lord. And it is our heartfelt prayer, Lord, that each of our families and our homes, our mothers and fathers, Lord, will instill godly wisdom in their children. And we just ask for our homes to be filled with your love and your joy and your spirit, Lord. And when we have opportunity, Lord, may our words always be gracious and kind, mother to father, parent to child, child to parent. And Lord, so that where our love as families, Lord, will be a witness to those around us. Hear our prayer, Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, now I want to lift up to you some of the members of our congregation who are very sick. And Lord, we're asking for prayer for comfort for Lillian, Mikhail, and for Fraser. both on the fifth floor of Southlink, and they're not doing well. They're advanced in years, and we just ask you to comfort them and their families as they look after them. Lord, we pray for our dear, wonderful brother, Gord McHale, who's been a fixture here in this church for 76 years. Lord, that's a marvellous testimony to his faith and to your faithfulness. And Lord, he's now at Alexander Muir Senior's residence, retirement residence. And Lord, we just pray that he'll be comfortable there and he'll settle there where they can take care of him. Lord, we pray you'll surround them and their families now with your love and your care and give them wisdom as they make decisions for the care of these people in the weeks and months ahead. Lord, we pray for our own families, for mothers and fathers, raising children, lodging them. We ask you to give every mother and father an extra dose of patience and wisdom dealing with children. In order for the financial and employment stresses that are in our families, Lord, we pray for relief. And Lord, when we see a family hurting or in need, Lord, we pray that we'll be generous. And if we know of someone in need, we'll call the church, and the church takes care of its own. Lord, we pray for the world. Big prayer, Lord, a big prayer. For all the international conflict and violence that's going on. Even now, Lord, with trade disputes between countries that have been friends forever. And now harsh words and threats forming another conflict. Lord, will there ever be peace on earth? And Lord, we know the answer to that will be not until the Lord returns, takes up residence and kingship over all his creation. But it can begin with us today, Lord, as we submit to your kingship in our hearts. So Lord, when we pray for peace on earth, Lord, we pray, let it begin with me. Let it begin with us. And now each one of us has come here today with some major awareness stresses of last week. And maybe some apprehension about the week ahead. Take that to the Lord now. Give him thanks for your many blessings. And bring to him that thing that's on your mind and on your heart. Lord, you know the individual issues that are going on in the lives of our congregation. Lord, you know what's going on in our families, in our marriages, in our homes. Lord, you know what's going on in the conflicts around the world. Lord, we pray that you will meet us in the midst of our anxiety, our worries, and our stresses. Lord, we pray that your peace will reign in our hearts. That peace that passes all understanding will be ours. Even in the midst of stress, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of turmoil, you are always present. You walk alongside us. You abide in our hearts. You abide in our homes. Lord, let us be guided by your Spirit. everything we do and say. Hear our prayer, Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Although it was 2 weeks ago, we are still very much in the Easter season. The story still has some ways to go. There's no question that the story of Jesus is an exciting and engaging story. The whole miraculous birth, the escape as a refugee to Egypt, the mysterious, I must be about my father's business when he was only 12 years old, his ministry of healing, of miracles, of teaching, of confronting the elites of the day, turning water into wine, walking on water, calming a storm, sleeping through the storm, speaking with the outcasts, the Samaritan woman with five husbands, speaking with the lepers, healing the blind, raising Lazarus from the dead. An epic story, unmatched in human history. And we met him on Palm Sunday, being hailed as the Messiah, King of the Jews. And by Friday, even Pilate declared him King of the Jews when he put the sign up on the cross. Truly exciting and marvelous story. But is that it at Easter? He's dead, he's resurrected, here I am. Is that the end of the story? No. It's not the end of the story at all. We have to ask the question, what happened next? What happened next? It's like the resurrection is like a climax. But what happened after? What went on in the days immediately following the resurrection? Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the events over those 40 days, because it's 40 days from Resurrection Sunday to Ascension, and it's 50 days to Pentecost. That's what Pentecost means, 50 days, 50 days after Passover, where we get to the coming of the Holy Spirit. So there's this season after the resurrection that we're going to spend some time looking at. And I want you and I to enter into these stories, because these are real stories too, because Jesus meets with people collectively and individually, and he has a lasting impact on their lives. So I want us to enter into this story and see, where am I in this story? What would be my reaction? What would be my response? How would this encounter with Jesus have affected me if I was that person? And our first story today is from Luke 23. Familiar story to us. It's the Road to Emmaus story. And we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 23. I'm going to read the NIV version and verses 13 to 32. So if you want to read along, look at that in your Bible. Luke 23, 13 to 32. Oh, Luke 24, sorry, typo of my notes here. Luke 24, that's right. Thank you, Steve. Luke 24. Luke 24, have I got that right then?
Yes.
And is it 13 to 32?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So are we all on the same page now? Corrected the pastor's position. Okay, we're all on the same page. Good. Lord, bless the reading of your word this morning to our hearts, to our minds, to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked with them, along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing today, together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since this all took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us?' While he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us." Lord, bless the reading of your word this morning. Yes, the story of the resurrection, Jesus' story doesn't end with the resurrection. The epic story of God's pursuit of the individual continues. God's going after everybody. He wants everybody to be redeemed. And this story takes place on the very day of resurrection. As the speaker said in verse 22, this morning, some of the women amazed us. So Jesus pursues these two people. We know very little about them, but we know that there were two of them, it says, meaning two of the disciples, those who were followers of Jesus and the larger group of followers. But neither one of them was one of the apostles, and we know that because verse 11 says when they returned to Jerusalem, they found the 11. So they weren't part of the 11. They were part of the larger group of disciples. And that's interesting, because again, you think Jesus is going to go after his key men, but he didn't. He pursues these two out on the road to Emmaus. Jesus goes after them. They were important to Jesus. They may have felt that they were just part of the crowd, but they're important to Jesus. And you are important to Jesus too. And he is pursuing you too. He's pursuing you. Jesus goes after those that he loves. These two were among the group of disciples who loved and followed Jesus, and he loved them and pursued them. And if you are a believer today, rest assured that if you've called on his name, he is going to pursue you and he's going to catch you. He's going to make you his own. You okay, man? Jesus does something which is, like for us, would be socially unacceptable. He comes up alongside these two strangers and he butts into their conversation. He's like, that's right. Maybe that was socially acceptable at the time or in that culture to come alongside someone and say, "So, what are you guys chatting about?" We kind of don't do that in our culture. So he asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stood still with their faces downcast. And they said, "You don't get it? Like, where have you been? Are you a visitor or something to Jerusalem and you don't know what's been going on?" Jesus says, "Well, tell me. What things? About Jesus of Nazareth," they said. And they started to list all the things they knew about Jesus. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. Like the list I gave before. He did miracles. He walked on water and changed water into wine. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He was a miracle worker. They knew a lot about Jesus. As we do, we know a lot about Jesus. But did they know Jesus? There's a difference. There's a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus in your heart. That was what was missing for these two who were fleeing Jerusalem. They were going the wrong way, away from Jerusalem. They spoke about Jesus, they could tell his story. They could tell of the false accusations, the mock trial, their false expectation about earthly kingdoms. They didn't know Jesus. And the amazing story, which they would have seen as an end, which was the empty tomb. They had all the facts, as we do. And we can read scripture and learn a lot about Jesus. But when Jesus starts to teach, and draws them back to scripture, because you have to remember, nothing about Jesus' life had been written down at this point. The only scripture they had were the scrolls in the temple of the Old Testament. So Jesus draws them back to familiar texts and explains everything about him. And he started explaining to them from Moses and the prophets what the Messiah was all about. See, Jesus met these two where they were. He made no expectations of where they should be. He came alongside where they were. And today you might feel that you're walking away from God, or your time with the Lord, or your time in his word has diminished. I would say, don't worry. He's coming after you. And you're going to find him coming up alongside one day and turning you back and showing you from the scripture, if you're in the word, all about himself, and drawing you back into a relationship with him. Jesus found out where their hearts and minds were at, and he started there. As they approached the village where they were going, Jesus made it look like he's done. We're done now, you go your way, I'll go mine. But they urged him strongly, the text says. They urged him strongly, stay with us. Something was already beginning to happen in their hearts. This complete stranger began to open scripture to them, so they were beginning to understand. No, stay with us. Stay with us, they said. Urged him strongly. So he went in at their request and stayed with them. So what was it about the stranger that made them say, stay with us? It's the same with every believer. There's a point where we come to an understanding of the things about Jesus that we want to know him, not just about him. And we get to that point where we urge him strongly, stay with us. We open up our hearts, we open up our minds, and we say, Lord, come in, stay with me. And we urge him strongly, stay with me. And if we've been away from the Lord for a while, or our reading and our prayer life has slackened off, we go back to that prayer and we say, Lord, come back in. And we urge him strongly to come back in. We welcome him into our hearts. And when we do that, he lives there and he remains there, always pursuing us, always teaching us, never leaving or forsaking us, surrounding us by his love and his presence. The point of recognizing was that when he repeated that action that he had done at the Last Supper of the breaking of the bread, There was something about the way he did it, the words he used, that their eyes were suddenly opened, and they said, it's Jesus. And at that point, his work was done. And there was a tipping point. And they turned to each other and said, wait a minute, was your heart burning in you as we were walking on the road? Yeah, yeah, what was going on? It was the Spirit of God in their hearts, convicting them of the truth that this stranger was saying. And then at the end of the event, if you like, the end of that act, his action of breaking the bread made them realize this is the risen Christ. We're in the very presence of the risen Christ. See, when you have an encounter with Jesus, something happens inside. Something happens inside. Your heart is changed. And it's permanently changed. There's no going back. The impact is immediate. And for these two, it was so immediate and so profound that they did something else that was unusual. They got up. It was late at night. Very dangerous. There were robbers. No street lighting, right? No 911 you can call, right? Very dangerous. They got up to go back to Jerusalem, and it would be dark. It'd be a very dangerous journey and a hazardous journey to do that. But that's so profound was the impact of Jesus on them that that didn't matter anymore. They turned around and went in the complete opposite direction to wherever they were headed. That's what happens when Jesus impacts your heart. The impact of knowing Jesus, not just knowing about him, will change your life. You will do what we call a 180. You're going in this direction, and boom, Jesus says, no, going that direction. And as this story tells us, is exactly what happened. They turned their lives around, they went in the opposite direction, and it says they hurried. Life is forever different when Jesus is at the center of your life. It's not enough to know about Jesus. Each one of us has to urge him strongly to stay. And life begins to change. While I was preparing this, I was trying to think of an anecdotal example. As you know, I had a heart attack last year, and the doctor said, you know, to up the exercise program a bit. So during the fall of last year, we went for walks around the block. But when it got cold, we stopped doing that because it got cold. And someone said, well, you should get a treadmill, that would really help. And I thought, oh, great, we'll do that. So we got a treadmill, and I got the book on the treadmill and read all about the treadmill. But I still kept the weight on. I couldn't shed any of the weight. And then someone said, well, you know, you've actually got to plug it in and use it. You've actually got to get on it and do engage with the treadmill. And so I tried that, and because things started to happen. It's funny, but it's the same with Jesus. Yeah, he's there. I've got him. Yeah, I know Jesus. I can find all his words and his quotes and his miracles. I can find them all in the book. It's all right here. That's not enough. You've got to engage with him. He's got to be in your life, in your heart, every day. It's not like he's out there, oh, it's Sunday, I better start thinking about Jesus. It's Monday. I better not get out of bed without thinking about Jesus and asking him to guide me through the day. So it's like my treadmill theology. You've actually got to use him, if I can use that as an expression. You've got to draw on him all the time. It's not enough just to walk alongside him. It's not enough to claim faith in him. You have to have him abide with you and guide you through your life. So our title of our message was, so what happened next? The answer is a lot of people had their lives changed. And for the last 2,000 years, a lot of people had their lives changed because they have asked him, they've urged him strongly, come stay with us. come and stay with me. Come and be my Lord and Savior. And when you do that, when you urge him strongly to stay with you, he will. And your life will be changed. You'll go back the other way, and you'll be forever a different person. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes to our loss, we know so much about you, but we don't know you. Well, Lord, we can only know you by having a relationship with you, by inviting you into our life each and every day, fresh each and every day. Lord, we need to make room in our life for you, for your word, for conversation, for walks alongside you. Lord, we repent of the times when we've let that relationship slack off, where we've had too much busyness, too much priorities, and we haven't made any room for you because life's too busy. Let's just take a few moments here now, just in your own heart. You know that he knows. Nobody else needs to know. Have you received him as Lord and Savior? Have you called out to him and said, Jesus, I urge you to strongly stay with me. Break bread with me. Be Lord of my life. Lord, show me how, starting today, starting tomorrow morning, I can add that extra 10, 15 minutes in the morning to be in your word, to be in quietness and prepare myself for the day with you abiding with me. Lord, make us a praying people. Make us a praying congregation. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Guide and direct us each and every day of our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 3:20 says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. This is the great invitation. And to our responses, Lord, I urge you strongly, come in and stay with me. Go in peace today. Know that the risen Lord desires to live in your heart. Go in peace. Amen.